Good evening. I'd like to call this meeting to order. Today is November 3rd, 2015. It's 6:30 p.m., and we're at the Palm Coast City Hall. Would you please rise and join me in a Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Roll call, please.
Mayor Nets.
Here.
Vice Mayor McGuire.
Here.
Councilmember DiLorenzo.
Here.
Councilmember Nobile.
Here.
Councilmember Shipley.
Here.
Mayor, all members are present.
Thank you very much. Before we proceed with the agenda, just let me take a couple seconds. Thank you all for your being here tonight. I hope there's nothing terribly controversial on the agenda that brings you out. But it's a pleasure to be here finally, see you. On behalf of City Council, to welcome you to your City Hall. With that, first item on our agenda is the approval of the minutes of the October 20th Council meeting and the October 27th Council workshop. Are there any additions, corrections, or is there a motion for approval?
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries that objection. With your approval, I have one addition to the proclamations and presentations. Mr. McGuire, will you read our letter, please?
This is a letter from Jeff Atwater, the Chief Financial Officer of the State of Florida, and it's addressed to the Mayor and the City Council of the City of Palm Coast, 160 Lake Avenue, Palm Coast, Florida. It is with great pleasure that I join you in congratulating the City of Palm Coast on the dedication of the new City Hall. This very special occasion represents much more than a new location for future local government operations, as it is also a symbol of community and civic pride. Incorporated in 1999, your community has housed their governmental operations in several temporary locations, creating a difficult environment to sustain the high level of efficiency and governing that the City of Palm Coast embodies. It has taken many years for the City of Palm Coast to reach today's point of celebration, and as you dedicate City Hall, an even more cohesive and effective local government is presented to the residents of Palm Coast. This center of civic engagement will bring many years of joy to your community while encompassing future economic development and political efficacy. Congratulations again. I know City Hall will be a place of importance for your community. Signed, Jeff Atwater, Chief Financial Officer, State of Florida, the capital, Tallahassee, Florida.
Agenda item number two, a proclamation recognizing the life-saving effort by Kemper Sports employee Alex Parenti and golfer Dr. De Leon.
At this time, can I ask Mr. Parente and Dr. De Leon to come up to the podium here? Thank you. Whereas, on the afternoon of September 14, 2015, a near tragedy occurred at Palm Harbor Golf Club when a Palm Coast resident collapsed while hitting balls on the driving range. And whereas Palm Harbor's Kemper Sports employee Alex Parente and golfer Dr. Augusto De Leon was also happened to be practicing on the driving range, rushed to assist the resident. And whereas Mr. Parente radioed the golf shop to call 911 as Dr. De Leon began CPR. And whereas Mr. Parente then ran to the golf shop to retrieve the LifePak defibrillator kept there and then assisted the doctor in defibrillation using the machine. And whereas, as the LifePak reset, paramedics arrived and took over life-saving efforts. And whereas, the life of the resident stricken that afternoon on the golf course was saved by the heroic and quick action of these bystanders who realized immediate medical attention was needed and did all in their ability to assist. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed by Mayor Nets and the City Council of the City of Palm Coast that Kemper Sports employee Alex Parente and golfer Dr. Augusto De Leon are commended for their service to humanity and for their courageous and selfless efforts to preserve human life. Signed this third day of November, 2015, John Nets, Mayor. Thank you, John.
Alex, on behalf of the mayor and council, the residents of Palm Coast, you as well, we present you with these life-saving award medals that we like to give out for such occasions. Mr. Mayor, if I might, it just shows that CPR and the training that we've been doing at the firehouse pays off. They just happen to be at the right place at the right time. Excuse me, and I will add that the gentleman whose life they saved, we have been in contact with him. He was unable to meet with us today because he traveled up north to be with his family because he realized he might not have been here if it hadn't been for these two gentlemen. So again, on behalf of us, we thank you. With us is their boss, Brad, from the golf course, and if anybody would like to say a few words, please.
Please. Just very briefly, when Alex Parente first came to me, we were in dire need of help at the golf course, and he was so willing to take on some shifts. I probably even called him a lifesaver. I didn't know he was going to take it so literally. But Kemper Sports and all the staff are very proud of Alex, and of course, many thanks to the good doctor for all that they've done. And we've actually even made steps for more of our employees to become trained in both CPR and first aid going forward. So thank you, gentlemen. Thank you.
Come this way. You bear with us, we'll do a photo.
Stand, sit.
Thank you.
Agenda item number 3, proclamation recognizing November 14th, 2015 as World Diabetes Day.
Whereas the American Diabetes Association estimates that nearly 30 million people in the United States are affected by diabetes, and another 86 million are still at risk for developing type 2 of the disease over the next decades. And whereas having diabetes elevates the risk of heart disease, amputation, kidney failure, and blindness, causing serious hardship for families across not only our city, but also our country, state, and nation. And whereas the American Diabetes Association has established Saturday, November 14th, 2015, as World Diabetes Day to educate citizens on ways to predict if someone is at risk for the disease, to help recognize the symptoms of diabetes, and to follow suggestions for living a quality lifestyle while they endure the infliction. And whereas the City of Palm Coast and Florida Hospital Flagler together recognize that the growing number of diabetes in our own community and across America make a strong case for devoting more of our resources to help find a cure. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed that the Palm Coast Mayor and City Council declare Saturday, November 14, 2015, as World Diabetes Day in Palm Coast, and urge all residents and their families who struggle with the consequences of diabetes to choose to live their own quality of life and not have diabetes live it for them. Adopted this third day of November 2015, City of Palm Coast, Florida, Mayor John Nets.
So thank you on behalf of Florida Hospital Flagler and Florida Hospital Flagler Foundation. I'm proud to accept that proclamation. And I'd like to commend you on the foresight to issue it. A few facts about diabetes. In Flagler County, it is the fifth leading cause of death. In Flagler County, the people who have diabetes, one out of four is not diagnosed. In Flagler County, we admit between 2,600 and 3,000 people a year to the hospital with diabetes and symptoms. And the good part about that is type 2 diabetes is reversible. So we need to get awareness. What a great transition if we can go from breast cancer awareness in October and everything pink to diabetes awareness in November and everything blue. So that's our goal, is to raise awareness for diabetes, get people to go to their doctors, get tested for sugar, get fixed. So with that, I would like to introduce one of our foundation board members, Laura Gilvary, and her husband, John, whose passion is type 1 diabetes. And they're going to tell you a little about it. Laura, where are you? John, come on up.
Good evening, and thank you so very much for this proclamation. It is incredibly meaningful to our family. My husband, John, who I had the great pleasure of falling in love with 18 years ago, was diagnosed 28 years ago with type 1 diabetes. We have taken this cause and this mission on because we feel that it is imperative for people who can change their life and not live as we live to do so. And we know that for 70% of the type 2 diabetics out there, it is firmly a choice and a lifestyle choice. So by raising awareness, we feel that we can maybe impact a few lives in this community so that they do not have to live with what we live with every day. And I'm not sure if Chief Beadle is still here, but an example of that would be a happy dollar I had the pleasure to give at Rotary about 5 years ago for his team saving John's life in the middle of the night. So as vibrant and dynamic as my husband is to anybody who knows him, he literally can be here today and gone tomorrow. So we greatly appreciate the City of Palm Coast for recognizing this and encourage the community to recognize November 14th. I know I work for Intracoastal Bank. The entire bank is going blue November 13th. The entire hospital is going blue November 13th. And we have Belterre Elementary School going blue on November 13th. So we encourage you to do the same. We appreciate the support so very much. We hope for a cure for type 1, but we are passionate about preventing and changing type 2.
So now, Mayor Nets, we're going to invade your space so we can take a picture.
Please do.
John, you go. Boys, come here.
Go ahead.
This is a World Diabetes Flag. Kind of center of my chair.
Nice.
Gilvary Boys, and we're going to come invade your space. Right now. Pull it tight. Pull it tight.
Can you guys, the student?
Center of Cindy.
Don't touch me.
Everybody's warm.
All right.
Please.
Laura, what are we supposed to do with all that candy we got?
Yeah.
First
a new learning experience. Agenda item number 4, proclamation recognizing November 28, 2015 as Small Business Saturday.
If there's a representative for Small Business Saturday, please come to the podium. Whereas the United States Small Businesses Administration annually celebrates local small businesses in Palm Coast and across the nation, promoting their extraordinary contributions to creating new jobs, expanding local economies, and generating opportunities for communities to purchase quality products for all their needs. And whereas last year, American consumers spent $14.3 billion at the 28 million independent merchant establishments and employ over 55% of the working population in this nation. And whereas Women Impacting Public Policy, WIPP, and the Small Business Saturday Coalition are the two organizations that are partnering in a national effort to engage Palm Coast and many other prominent cities in the United States to encourage shoppers to make their purchases locally this year, on November the 28th, the Saturday between Black Friday and Cyber Monday. And whereas, if every household in our community spent $25 at a small business on Small Business Saturday, it adds $1 million to the local economy. And whereas Small Business Saturday supports the City of Palm Coast's Prosperity 2021 plan for economic development and growing the city one job at a time. And whereas Small Business Saturday is essential to Palm Coast for the preservation of its unique neighborhoods and the unfolding of its strong character while helping to boost sales, spirit, and confidence in the city's local growing economy. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed that the Palm Coast Mayor and City Council do hereby declare November 28, 2015 as Small Business Saturday and encourage all citizens to support local Palm Coast shops and restaurants by making purchases not only on Small Business Saturday, but all year long. Signed this third day of November 2015, City of Palm Coast, John Metz, Mayor.
Thank you first for this proclamation. Secondly, just as part of Small Business Saturday in the month of November, as you're going out and buying Christmas gifts, we just encourage you to check out all the local shops and stores before you hit the online button, because you'll be surprised at what prices you can get, and also you'll be helping our businesses here in Palm Coast. So thank you for the proclamation.
Presentation of the Gold Level Green Local Government Recertification from the Florida Green Building Coalition.
Mayor, I would like to introduce this one. Denise Bevan is going to make the presentation for City, but I want to stress that this has really been a team effort and a huge endeavor. This is one of City Council's priorities is not only to have a green program, but a sustainable program that lasts over years. And that's exactly what this award today represents. I also like to take the opportunity to highlight the fact that although it's not part of this award, this building that we're all sitting in is on its way to be LEED certified. LEED being the environmental certification to say that we've done things to reduce the carbon footprint and other impacts on our environment. So I had to put that plug in there, Denise. Tonight it's really exciting that we are being recertified as another gold community.
Thank you, Mr. Landon. It's a truly exciting night, being in this beautiful city hall that's environmentally sound. And actually I have a guest with me,
tonight, Florida Green Building Coalition Executive Director Suzanne Cook. But before I give it over to Ms. Cook, I'd like to just kind of tell you a little storybook session of how we got here. So in 2007, the Green Team was formed with a mission to enhance the quality of life for our citizens by reducing the city's footprint on natural resources and promoting sustainable practices. A year later, City Council adopted the Green Resolution. That guided staff to pursue a local green local designation from the Florida Green Building Coalition. As it was then, as it is now, Florida Green Building Coalition, FGBC, serves to evaluate local governments to determine the level of sustainable practices within their organization. Flash forward another year, in February 2009, the City of Palm Coast earned the proud certification of a silver level green local government. We didn't stop there. A year later, we achieved gold, the next level up. Now, over the course of the last 5 years, we haven't just been sitting around waiting for the recertification to come along. The Green Team has tackled many demanding and innovative projects, which brings us here today. This honor goes far beyond the Green Team. It reflects the dedication of our City Council, the top-notch workforce of the whole city, and, of course, the citizens of Palm Coast. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Ms. Cook.
Thank you for letting us come down and present this award. Many of the things I'm about to say you just heard, but I'm still going to say some of them in a different approach. So we're here to recognize Palm Coast, the City of Palm Coast, for earning the Florida Green Local Government designation for environmental stewardship after it successfully met the sustainability standards established in the FGBC Green Local Government 5-year recertification program. And as Denise said, first in 2009, then upgrading in 2010. At that point, you had 44.8% of your applicable points, and that was a gold level designation. But it continued to expand its strategic planning and performance management actions to earn 58.8% of its 328 applicable points, thus qualifying it again for a gold level designation and making it the third highest scoring local government in the state. Only 0.1% separates you from the number 2 position. The program criteria includes evaluations of energy and water usage, air quality, health issues, land use, recycling and waste disposal, maintenance policies, education programs, purchasing practices, regulatory policies, and many others. The designation demonstrates exemplary leadership by the Mayor Nets and the entire City Council and other officials who provided the framework and support to move forward with the process that better helps to manage the cost of government. Their leadership in this effort will help protect and conserve the community's natural resources, enhance the efficiency of government, thus reducing the cost to taxpayers, and raise public awareness about the benefits of environmental stewardship. In order to achieve certification, Palm Coast staff, led by City Administration Coordinator Denise Bevan, undertook an extensive audit of the functions performed by every department. From there, her teams used the FGBC program tools to identify methods to improve the sustainability of their business practices and operations. One goal of the program is to lead by example, to encourage the private sector to apply the same principles through the creation of green homes, commercial buildings, and green land developments. Bringing together community businesses and residents with a common objective can lead to integrated environmental solutions for local issues. Just some of Palm Coast's gold-level green achievements include, and please, I know this is a long list, but you're a gold-level certification, so nobody's eyes glaze over. Rewrite its mission statement to include environmental commitment and incorporate the mission statement into the city's comprehensive plan. Monitor and track local government energy and water use. Develop a water reduction plan. Create a clean, reclaimed water infrastructure. Adopt policies to encourage alternative on-site wastewater and water reuse technologies. monitor and track the city's solid waste and recycling rates in order to develop a waste reduction plan. Create and maintain an electronic database of all building energy code compliance, green certifications, and energy ratings. And part of that is so that they can monitor their energy use and take appropriate actions to reduce the amount of energy that they consume. Operate a website dedicated to the city's green programs to help educate the community. Provide air and water quality indexes on the city's website. Offer incentives for commercial and residential energy use reductions. Implement an ISO 14001 environmental management system. Develop and implement an environmentally preferred purchasing program. Purchase alternative fuel vehicles and have an alternative fueling station. Adopt a green building standard as the official minimum criteria for new and renovated government buildings. Construct FGBC or LEED green certified buildings, which City Hall will be. And my only comment there would be, I hope that you will also consider FGBC certification moving forward. Offer incentives for FGBC, LEED, or Energy Star certified commercial buildings, homes, and land developments. Offer incentives for construction of green, affordable housing. And affordable housing is so important to communities because those are the people that do not have large amounts of discretionary funds. And so reducing their home ownership costs, energy use, water use, helps them maintain a better quality of life. Offer rebates for low-flow plumbing fixtures, and I did check your plumbing fixtures. Good job. Conduct a green building awards program. Develop a construction project waste management and recycling plan. Require mitigation for consumption of natural habitats or resources. Enact a tree preservation or land clearing ordinance. Regulate impervious parking services. Impervious parking services, as you know, allows water to drain through into the ground so you don't have to process as much stormwater runoff. Enact a septic tank system replacement ordinance. Maintain an office, person, or group to coordinate current and future green activities. Offer free or discounted green products to the public. Organize green building training and education materials for local government staff, industry professionals, and community residents. Apply Florida-friendly landscape principles at all public amenities and enact a Florida-friendly landscape ordinance for all new construction. Maintain an active Florida Yards and Neighborhood program or other landscaping outreach program for builders, developers, and homeowners. Maintain an active student-teacher education program for environmental issues. Team with tourism department on ecotourism campaigns that track and track amount of ecotourism. Offer incentives to local green businesses within the city and offer a green business certification program. Offer incentives for green redevelopment. Fire department reviews training operations to conserve water where appropriate. Offer disaster mitigation audits and incentives for homes and businesses and create an education campaign on disaster mitigation. Public safety is trained in healthy street design. Provide incentives for government employees for alternative commuting. New employee orientation includes a city commitment to the environment and enact a policy so that all computer and electronic equipment purchased has conservation features. Enact a policy so all city electronic equipment is turned off when not in use. Operate a city reuse or redistribution center for computers, electronic equipment, and reusable paints and chemicals. And provide a citywide hazardous waste collection. And that is that citywide hazardous waste collection is not very often incorporated by local governments, so congratulations. Create an endangered lands conservation and purchasing program. Enact open burning regulations. Enact a manatee protection plan. Develop a boat sighting plan. Maintain organic community gardens and operate an environmental demonstration or learning center. Place signs or brochures to explain the green features at public amenities. Minimize chlorine use in public swimming pools. Install bicycle security at all public amenities and maintain a bicycle pedestrian coordinator on staff. Implement recycling stations at all public areas. Use LED, solar, or other renewable energy for traffic and streetlights. implement energy-efficient lighting and controls for outdoor courts and parks, develop and maintain urban area boundaries and encourage mixed-use development. I'm almost there. Analyze transportation routes and improve connectivity to bicycle and pedestrian network. Offer recycling collection services to businesses and multifamily dwellings. And require mandatory recycling of typical recyclables and construction demolition waste for home and businesses. So congratulations to Palm Coast elected officials and the community. And Denise, well done. So we have two things. We have a flag for you, and I believe you had a flag before. Uh-huh. So, yeah. And I would just like to invite the green team, the green team needs to come up here and our helpers.
All right. Where's it?
He's in there. We go.
You can do it, Bill.
Come on. There you go.
Agenda item number 6, resolution relating to the Flagler County Association of Realtors Home for the Holidays event. Mr. Landon?
Yes, this is one of those that our local Realtor Association represented, Dorothy, and she brought a team with her, came and asked and said, you know, we have a new program we'd like to get started this Christmas season, and would wondering if the city would be interested in joining us in this endeavor. And I thought it sounded like a great idea, so we worked with them, and tonight is a presentation on what the proposal is, asking for City Council's support in this endeavor. We're going to start off with Jose, which is represented the city in the discussions, and then Dorothy will talk about the program more. So Jose, take it from here.
Thank you very much. Good evening, Mayor and members of City Council. For staff, Jose Papa from the Community Development Department. As Mr. Landon mentioned, this Home for the Holidays special event is to be a partnership between the City of Palm Coast and the Flagler County Association of Realtors. Again, this partnership with FCAR is there to promote housing opportunities within the city. This partnership is consistent with city strategies to help people find their Florida in Palm Coast, to help them find their home here. And this special event is scheduled for the weekend of December 5 and December 6. As part of this partnership, the city commits to the following. One, we are to include dates and pertinent information in our Palm Coaster newsletter. We're here to assist with signage and permitting for the event. We're going to post announcements on our website regarding the special event. And we're going to work with FCAR to use 6 utility poles subject to availability and as designated by city staff. And those poles are to be found on Palm Coast Parkway for banner signs, which FCAR will provide. And those banners may be up for a period not to exceed 30 days. And finally, permit the use of City of Palm Coast logos on advertisement signs and or banners related to this special event. As part of that commitment, FCAR commits to the following. It'll include the City of Palm Coast logo on marketing materials, again indicate that this is a partnership, and display the City of Palm Coast logos on all event signage. Council has any questions?
Mayor. One question. Does FCAR entail all realtors?
There's a common misconception as far as what classifies a real estate licensee as a realtor. The Flagler County Association of Realtors are all realtors.
No, question the other way. Are all realtors FCAR members?
Yes. Okay. That's what makes them a realtor, is that they belong to the National Association
okay.
of Realtors.
Okay.
But all, let me further explain yeah, okay, that, sorry. That not all real estate licensees are members of the Flagler County Association of Realtors.
Okay. What about affiliates? Are there FCAR affiliates that don't encompass the entire of that industry? For instance, builders or fence companies or...
We have business partners, which are in a lot of industries. They're classified as affiliates. We call them business partners in our local bylaws. And that includes title companies, banks. We do have one builder, I believe, that is a business partner.
Okay.
We have home inspection companies. We have we have 56 business partners within our association. Okay.
My only concern with this is partnering with the city, and Mr. McGuire brought this up, I'm taking his lead, when I don't want the city to look like we're endorsing a group of companies or realtors or licensed real estate people. I'm just afraid, and I'm not real sure if we're on that line here, but if you have a few builders and Palm Coast is sponsor or partnering with you, it seems like, well, then we're sponsoring those few builders instead of all the builders. You know what I mean? I don't want to look like we're sponsoring any company. Or
okay,
individual
well, the event,
organization.
Though, the event is an open house tour. It's not anything that the builders would probably, they may put a banner up, but I don't think they're going to have properties in it as a business partner. This is for our realtor members to mm-hmm. have an open house tour.
Okay, well, I just have that concern right now that somebody goes to FCAR. If you go to your website, I would imagine your affiliates are there.
Yes, they are.
Okay, so
as well as all our members.
Yeah, that's just what concerns me. That's all that the city is labeled, not labeled. I'm sorry, that we're partnered with FCAR. It seems like we're indirectly sponsoring these individuals, these individual companies also. That's just a concern I have. I just don't want the city to get tied up in that. If it were something that everyone, if FCAR was fully inclusive of all real estate, construction, you know, anything to do with real estate, didn't have specific affiliates, partner companies, then I would be okay with it. But that's all. I just wanted to ask those questions and bring that up.
Other council questions?
I just have a comment. While we have so many people here, all your relatives are going to come and visit you for the holidays. All of them are probably having snow up there up north. Perfect time to tell them to get in touch with FCAR and see the houses down here. And then all your friends can move down too. I'm hoping mine will when they're here.
It's an event to showcase the city of Palm Coast. It's not to promote any one individual business or realtor member.
Hearing no more council questions, open the meeting from the public. Anyone from the public wish to be heard on this agenda item? Please come up to the podium, give us your name, limit your contribution to 3 minutes.
Now would be the time.
Is it only based on this topic?
Yes.
Okay. I am part of an organization called the Flagler County Walking Committee, and we showcase Flagler County to all the residents that move into the county, and I believe anything that showcases Flagler County is an advantage. We want to bring as many people from other states to come down to visit and know more about Palm Coast. I know my organization, we spend a great deal of money promoting Flagler through marketing companies up north, and I just commend the FCAR for doing this also. I think if there's more and more of us doing this, eventually there will be a great deal of small businesses that also will come down with it. So, I know I'm just a local small business, but I am not a member of FCAR, but I 100% support this this proclamation.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Lewis McCarthy, Palm Coast. All I can say is this is a great idea as long as it promotes all areas of the city, not just one area, all areas of the city, because every area, and there's some area that's more prosperous than the others, other areas. And my notion is if it's for Palm Coast, it's for everybody and everywhere. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker. Next speaker. So you don't approach the podium and close the public portion meeting. Come back to council. Additional questions, comments, or a motion?
Yes, sir.
Mr. DiLorenzo.
I think this is a really good idea. And in my mind, the partnership is the local realtor association getting out the word about Flagler County and Palm Coast. That's their part in this. And then our part is to assist them have a very good event, sell some homes, drive up the price of homes by selling those homes. I think everybody would appreciate that, and enjoy the economic benefit that will come with the sale of those homes. So with that, I move approval.
The motion, is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries without objection. Agenda item number 7, resolution authorizing the city manager to execute the state revolving fund loan agreement for wastewater treatment plant number 2, project WW18042. I have no idea what WW18042 means. However,
it's one of those state designations. Mayor, City Council, it's during the holidays when they sell all those homes. They're going to have to flush their toilets, take showers, and then we get the privilege of taking all that wastewater and having to treat it. So as we continue to grow as a community, it's important we obviously have the capacity to treat the wastewater. This presentation for City Council is going to look like a rerun because you've seen it 4 or 5 times at this point, because this is a very long process to go from one plant to 2 plants and actually build a brand new plant. And one of the obvious requirements is funding. And so tonight we're asking for authorization to move forward with the loan agreement with the state. And I won't steal your thunder, but it is a very positive loan agreement for the city. This is, once again, a utility project, so Richard Adams is going to take it, but Chris, our finance director, will also discuss some of the dollar amounts. So Richard, take it from here.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor and Council. Richard Adams, Public Works Director, or
back that up. Utility director. Old habits are hard to break. Little history here, how we got here. First of all, you all know that as daily flows to the wastewater treatment plant increase, comes a time where we have to expand our capacity. Chapter 62-600 of DEP rules says that if projected flows are going to be exceeded in the next 4 years, you have to start the planning process. During the peak growth period, we started that process because we had projections of reaching those capacities in a four-year period. 2008, we started the design of this plant, and then, as everyone knows, the bottom kind of fell out. Our growth slowed to practically nil, and so we put those plans on the shelf. The DEP also says that if you are going to need additional capacity, you have to have that online 6 months before the need. We watched the growth, and now we're at a point where we need to move forward with this project. Our current capacity is 6.83 million gallons a day. We began the process to add wastewater treatment plant number two in 2014, bring that back on off the shelf and start the project. We saw those increased flows when we resurrected the project in July of 2014. Council authorized the final design and to begin the process to secure our financing. In March, we presented, March 3rd to be exact, we held a public hearing that was required by the DEP, presenting a capital financing plan to show that we could afford to borrow the money and pay that loan back. In August, we received notification from the DEP that our project was approved and we could get DEP funding. So we took another look at the flows and made sure we were still on track, and indeed we were. In fact, the flows are up a little bit, and showing that we will exceed our capacity sometime in early 2018. This slide shows, it's kind of hard to read, but it shows where we are in the process. In June of 2015, we submitted all our documents to the DEP. DEP had their public hearing in August, and they granted us the loan. And then that kind of put us in this implementation schedule here, where we have plans to start construction early 2016 so that we can complete the project by late 2017, 6 months ahead of the plant existing capacity running out. So what we're here today is asking council approval to execute the loan agreement with the FDEP. When we did the capital financing plan back in February, we anticipated a 0.83% interest rate. And you'll see that we actually got a better rate than that. And I asked Chris if he would come up and explain a little bit of how much that lower rate has affected our ability to pay back that loan and our financing costs.
Thank you, Richard. The graph that's up on the screen on the far left, kind of the orangish bar, represents the amount of interest on this loan of approximately $31 million to build the sewer plant and related infrastructure. Over a 20-year life, the total interest cost would be just over $2 million. That's at an interest rate of 0.67%, a little over 0.5%, less than 1%, almost unheard of in the world of financing. In terms of a financing of this size, you would consider this money virtually free to borrow. A typical borrowing rate for us for SRF loans in the past have been between 2 and 3%. If this same loan was at 2%, it would represent over $6.5 million of interest to be paid. At 3%, over $10 million of interest to be paid. And the purpose of this graph really is to point out what a good deal, what an unusual deal this is, and how this is going to save significant dollars for current and future ratepayers of the utility.
What's the term?
20 years.
20 years, okay.
Your Honor.
Is that the end of your presentation?
Yes.
Council questions. Mr. McGuire.
Richard, I think it bears emphasizing that this is not something that the city of Palm Coast wants to do because it would be nice to do. What happens if we exceed our capacity and do not have another wastewater plant?
Well
everybody gets a 55-gallon drum to take home.
Yes. Other than that.
Yes, of course, but most certainly would be a building moratorium. The DEP won't allow you to issue building permits if you don't have the waste.
So home building comes to a halt because you can't handle the...
Commercial development, okay. Everything comes to a halt, yes.
And Mr. Quinn, will the securing of this loan result in any burden on the taxpayers? Where is the money going to come from to pay it back?
There's no burden on taxpayers. This is part of the utility fund, which is supported by water and sewer rates. It's an enterprise fund. No taxes are used for this particular fund or for this particular project or the paying back of these funds. The current utility rates that are in place already support the debt service on this particular loan.
So it isn't necessary to propose raising any of the utility rates at this time?
That's correct.
Thank you.
How far out do we see that, potentially? And I'm talking strictly in regards to the loan, not to just increases, you know, natural or yearly increases. Is there any time we anticipate?
Well, all things being equal, assuming nothing ever increased in the future, our current rates would cover the cost of this loan for the life of the loan.
Okay. DeLorenzo.
Chris. Section 3.02 of the document on page 9 talks about the loan debt service account and how it must be invested. Are we taking this in a lump or will there be draws?
It's always drawn. It's drawn based on you spend the money first out of your current operating funds that you have available, and then you're reimbursed in draws from the state for what you spend. We typically do that on a monthly basis. The debt service account talks about the next actual loan payment. We have to make loan payments every 6 months. We're required to have that 6-month loan payment in the bank ready to go before the payment is due. And that's primarily what that area refers to.
All right, thank you.
Other council questions? Seeing none, we'll open the meeting to the public. Anyone from the public wish to be heard on this agenda item?
It's always going to hurt.
I have a question. How do you project how much money you're going to get for 20 years? In other words, you're telling us that this loan's going to last for 20 years. Now, you know, I've heard where cities go bankrupt. As a matter of fact, it happened to New York City back when, I don't know if you remember that, the state had to pick it up and bail out the city. So now what, when you talk about a loan for 20 years, it's hard to ask the question, but if I buy a house, they tell me how much money you're making and how secure is your job. What do we do with the city? Do we do the same thing? Are we secure 20 years from now, 10 years from now? How do you come to that conclusion? That's what I'd like to know.
We'll get an answer for you. Next speaker. Next speaker. So you're going to approach the podium and close the public portion meeting. Go back to council. But first, Chris, how do you make these projections?
Well, as Mr. Carroll said, it basically works the same way for a business as it does for an individual getting a mortgage. And instead of how secure is your job, the question is how secure is your revenue stream? How strong is your city as a city? How secure are the residents in the city? Those are some of the very same questions that are asked for commercial loans in our case as it would be for an individual loan. And the answer is the same. You answer as what you believe to be true based on your history and also what you project into the future. Of course, no one can ever predict the future, but I think, you know, in our case, our city is very strong. It has been strong. I think it will continue to be strong. And that's what you base loan decisions on.
And also, the strength to be able to get a loan at 0.67% and 20 years. I mean, this is not us. These are the financial institutions believing we have that, because they're not going to give it to us on our word. They're going to have to see real data to back it up, and a strong credit, a strong history prior, right?
That's correct, and that's one of the, Richard had mentioned that, you know, along the way of the process, we had to have the capital financing plan where we had to do those projections. We brought in our rate consultant, PRMG, if council remembers, a number of months ago to work through those rate projections with us, and those all have to be presented to the state, to the person who's providing the funding, and has to be sufficient to meet the requirements of the loan.
I think that...
Please.
One of the steps that we've gone through along the way as well was being willing to, as a community, to raise our rates a few years ago, which improved our credit rating. And also, it shows the creditor that you're willing to make that difficult decision of raise the rates, which then gives them the confidence in you that you'll be able to pay back the loan and give you the better rate.
That's extremely critical. You know, no one likes to pay more higher rates, but, you know, the foresight to look ahead and make those decisions, which City Council did to raise those rates, was critical in our improved credit rating and also the ability to pay for this loan without having to raise any rates now or foreseeable future to pay for it.
Additional questions, comments, or a motion?
I move we approve this resolution.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries without objection. This brings us to the consent agenda, items 8 through 10. But before we ask council to vote on them as a block, if anyone from the public would like to speak on any of these, this is your opportunity to do so. Agenda items 8, 9, or 10. Seeing no one approach the podium, council, consent agenda items 8, 9, and 10. Is there a motion to approve as presented?
Your Honor, I'd like to pull agenda item 8 for discussion.
Number 8. Anyone else?
Just 8.
Agenda items 9 and 10. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries that objection. Agenda item number 8, resolution to approve a contract with Stockton Maintenance Group for citywide cleaning services. Mr. Landon, you want to give us a comment?
Yes, this is, let me back up. Our current contract for cleaning services throughout our organization has expired, and so we went out for proposals. This year we did something a little different. We didn't just go out for bids and get the low bid. We actually did a two-step process where we asked for qualifications and only accepted firms that met specific qualifications as far as size, experience in cleaning facilities like we're in today, our utilities, fire stations, etc. And then I believe it was like 7 bidders, so we got a good 6 or 7. Nestor, you need to be moving on up to the podium to help me with details here. So we got a good selection. We got a good price. We asked for a price for each one of our facilities, knowing that this facility was going to be new, knowing that we have a small facility maintenance crew right now that doesn't do the cleaning but does a lot of the maintenance day in and day out. Also, with this facility having this wing and the waterfront room and this actually having the ability for the public and businesses to rent this out, that we were going to have people here to set up, tear down, clean restrooms, take care of business other than at night, that we took a look at this and have proposed that we not include City Hall, Community Center, and the Public Works facilities, and that we do that in-house. This budget included two additional facility maintenance people, and so it's already in the budget this year, and we are proposing doing these in-house and only having the rest of the facilities being contracted. This is going to be new for us, and so it's going to be a lot of monitoring, a lot of determining exactly how much time we need. And it's not just time, but it's when. Because we need some people here during the day, but we also need them at night to do the, most of the cleaning, et cetera. So we believe that by eliminating those three facilities, we reduce the bid from over $100,000 to the low bid, about $37,000. So it's almost a $70,000 savings. For two people, maintenance workers, for us, they make about $28,000 a year. When you add all the benefits and the taxes and their all-in cost, for those two, it turns out to be about a little under $90,000. So it is a little more expensive. But the cleaning service won't be here during the day. They're strictly going to be here. And so we still are going to have somebody here, maybe a couple people here during the day. And so we feel like this is a good middle point for us to evaluate what the future holds by bringing more of the service in-house, but not too much of it, so we can continue to evaluate. We may decide it's better to do all of it outhouse, or that's an internal
outsourced.
Outsourced.
Well, that's a reason that I asked that it be pulled, Mr. Landon. This is unfamiliar territory for us. You know, we have not been in the contract cleaning business before, and I would like to see and make it a condition of this in form of a motion that we see an evaluation on a regular basis to determine whether or not using public works personnel to do what we might have done with contract cleaning people is a better deal for the city, keeping in mind that when we use public works people and we add them to the payroll like we've already done, we pick up the cost for workers' comp and things of that nature,
yes,
which a contract cleaning firm would have to absorb that themselves. So I support the idea, but I want to see a fiscal evaluation on a regular basis to make sure that if we do find that this thing is really not where our core competency is, that we can go in a different direction. That's why I pulled it.
We agree 100%, and that's exactly what our plans are. And truly believe that we need 6 months to a year to determine that, but fully support that as a condition of approval.
Then on that basis, I move that we approve this resolution.
Well, I have a question.
Yes, hello.
Go ahead, James.
Mr. DeLorenzo.
Well, I wanted to pull this one as well, and for the exact same reason, Mr. McGuire. Basically, a vote for this plan is indirectly a vote to add two employees and about $20,000 worth of equipment. So you mentioned monitoring. So I want that monitoring to become reporting, so we can really get a good feel for, you know, what this change is doing to us, and if it is in fact the right decision as we move forward. I was very skeptical of some of the other ones, and they've all worked out so far, with the taking the some of the landscaping in house and that kind of stuff has worked out, and I always had a test when we get to some of those things about is this equipment have to do with that? Same kind of thing. We're going to be looking for the reporting to come back to us to make sure we are indeed making the right decision here.
And as I always state, if we can't do it better than the private sector, we shouldn't be doing it. And if we monitor this and determine that we can't do it more efficient, less cost, realizing it's more than just cleaning, then we shouldn't be doing it. We should allow the private sector.
Well, one thing we've got in our advantage is that we use a work order system. You know, when you want some work like this done, you're going to send a work order to Public Works, and they're going to do that. So it's measurable.
Yes. And it will be part of the Public Works performance measures. So, yes, we will be tracking this. And you know, it won't just be Public Works. It's the users in the building. It's the how quickly are they getting to this. And that's not just city employees, but those are the people renting our facilities, and are we handling it correctly, or do we need to do something different? So, once again, totally support the concept.
Your Honor, I call the question.
Mr. Nabil.
I agree with both Mr. McGuire and Mr. DiLorenzo on measuring. I just am a little concerned in what that means, because first, we're not comparing apples to apples. Like you said, the cleaning service is a cleaning service. They come in, they clean, boom, they're gone. This new crew is going to be doing more than that. They're also, like you said, set up, tear down, things like that, correct?
Yes, the ceremony out front.
Yeah.
Public Works is one that comes up, sets all that up. That's a great example.
So what would you consider a failure? If that we failed at this, I mean,
if we are not able to fulfill those work orders in a timely fashion, if we're not able to keep it clean with our current staffing, and we have to start adding staffing to make that happen, and that amount of staffing starts costing us more than if we just had cleaning and we did some of the work orders ourselves, so. The fact that we went out to bid and see what the private sector wants to charge us, that gives us a benchmark, if you will, as to
what our, should be.
Well, what the cleaning portion of it should be. And that's one of the reasons we did it this way. On the other hand, if we have some other facilities that we can add to this and not have them pay a private company to do it, you know, that's also an option in the future. So. It will be the performance as far as quality of work, are we getting it done, and the cost to make that happen, and how many employees we got to hire to make it work, and compare that to the private bids we received.
Mayor, if I could, the other thing that we're going to be learning is what exactly are our needs for these three facilities. We don't know yet. And with this program, it provides us a flexibility to learn what our needs, whether Public Works does it a year from now or not, but at least we would have a better understanding of what services are needed to go out the contract.
Additional council questions?
Mr. Mayor, would we hear about needing more employees before it actually happens? It would come through City Council? Or would we go from 2 to 5, and it would never come through here?
To add the staffing, additional employees would require City Council approval through budget. What we may do that doesn't require City Council is shifting the resources without adding personnel, but actually making sure we have the right people in the right place. So, as Nestor indicated, if we can still use our current staffing, our current resources, and take away from something else and part-time, I mean, not full-time. That's part of the flexibility here. And you would not see that. That would be something that the Public Works would just manage. I wouldn't see that either. The other part of that, though, that I want to stress is our facility maintenance includes things like parks. I mean, right now we have somebody, if it's not past 7, 8 o'clock, we have somebody going around cleaning toilets, restrooms, in our parks right now. Well, that's all part of pulling those resources together and making sure that, like the park facility across the lake here, that's all going to be tied into whoever's cleaning this building. So those are the kind of things that the management and Public Works will be measuring. You won't see. If it takes additional people, we have to hire additional people, you would have to approve that.
Thank you.
Since this was removed from the consent agenda, we'll now open the meeting to the public. Anyone from the public wish to be heard on agenda item number 8?
We're going to have to move that podium.
What kind of a contract do we have with this Paxton?
Stockton. In other words, if things don't go right, then we have to hire more people. Oh. How does that affect the contract with Stockton? And if we decide that we don't need more people, and we give it to Stockton. Then what kind of a contract? Do we have an open-end contract that says, if we need more work, you'll do it, and if we need less work, you don't do it, and you charge us accordingly? Or do you have a set contract that says, so X amount of people work, regardless of how many people the city puts in? So that's a question. What kind of a contract are we giving them? What are they giving us?
Thank you. Next speaker. Next speaker. Let's see.
Good evening, George Mayo, Palm Coast. In the vein of what Jack just asked, how long of a term of the contract is this with the company? And is there some clause in there that says we're going to look at it for a year and it doesn't work out, will there be a penalty from the company instead of being whatever the figure we said was $33,000? We'll say, will they now say, well, it's going to cost you $37,000 or $38,000 because you didn't institute it? If it just goes back to the normal price, that's fine. But I have no objections. I'm just curious how that would work out. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker. Next speaker. If you don't approach the podium, we'll come close public portion. We can go back to council. Mr. Landon, the contract, open-ended. What are the options as far as modifying the contract?
Well, first of all, both parties can cancel it with, I believe it's a 30-day notice without cause. So if we don't like the service we are receiving, we can cancel it at any time with just a 30-day notice. We'd have to have 30 days to replace them anyways. So that's number one. I believe the length of the contract is for 3 years with an option to extend it to 1 year term, which is pretty correct. Is our standard contracts.
Correct.
There's always the option to amend that if both parties agree to it in the future, add, subtract facilities as needed in this contract. And then if it's one of those in the bid here, we already have a price for it, so we know what it is, and how much we would either add or subtract in the cost based on what facilities we would change also. So, yes, contract has a lot of flexibility. We've had Mayor's been here the longest, remembers. We've had bad experience with, and that's why we tried to change the process. If someone coming in out of Jacksonville with two people and trying to get all dozen of our facilities done in one night, and so they kind of blow by and call it clean, and that just doesn't work. So we've had to change contractors, in this case, multiple times because of the lack of performance. And this will give us that ability again.
Additional council questions, comments, or a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Move and second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries that objection. This brings us to the public participation portion of the meeting. This is the opportunity for the public to speak on any item not on today's agenda. If you care to speak, come up to the podium, give us your name, and limit your contribution to 3 minutes.
Doris McCarthy, Palm Coast. Everything in here is superb, except for one thing. I have to be the first one to do a complaint. And you know what that complaint in here is?
Sure.
There is no clock. No clock.
Oh, the mayor brought that up already.
No clock.
It's already on our punch list.
And when you're sitting out there, there is a glare on each one of these screens. There's some kind of a glare, and I'm sure tech people would know how to take care of that. But that's it.
Thank you, sir.
Is that the first?
You got someplace you got to go?
We definitely need a clock.
Yes.
Jack
Callis, Palm Coast. First, I'd like to say this. You all look official. Now you look like you're running a business, a city. But I remember back don't know if it was last year or the year before, when the waste company was going to go on, they're going to change their fuel system, excuse me, and we're supposed to put it on all the trucks, and then we were supposed to get a decrease because it was going to cost them less and it was going to be passed on to us. So I'm just asking, whatever happened to that? You know, did they just give it up? Well, I understand they have a depot where they fill up their trucks. And I didn't see a discount on my taxes yet. So I'm just wondering what happened.
Okay.
And you're still going to get a bill from my
next speaker.
I just want to, again, my name is Armando Gomez. I just got yelled at because I forgot to say my name the first time. I just want to commend the mayor and the county commissioners, city council, for approving the Small Business Saturday and also the FCAR event. The only thing that I ask is that if it's possible, I know I already talked to about 140 businesses about the Small Business Saturday. If there's a way for us as small business owners to have a location to put our sales or be able to publicize of a business that's participating in this great event, I believe that it's going to bring a great deal of business to Flagler County, but it'd be nice for us to have a nice area to put all the special pricing. In addition, it's just nice to see that you guys are open-minded and allowing, you know, private sector, the FCAR, and other local businesses to really show the support of the community. So I just want to thank you very much.
Thank you. Next speaker. Next speaker. If you don't approach the podium, we'll close the public portion of the meeting. Go back to council. Mr. Landon, Waste Pro, CNG, Depot in Bunnell, pricing, what can you tell us about that?
It all occurred about 3 to 4 years ago. They do have their compressed natural gas trucks they purchased as per the contract. They had a year to do that. They have their fueling station in Bunnell. And at that time, taxes did not go down, but the utility bills did, according to the contract. I don't have in front of me as to how much that was, but they had an X number of time to get this done, and then the amount we charged for garbage pickup went down at that time. So all that took place. It's been long enough ago that I'm sure most people have long forgotten the relatively small decrease.
And just as an addendum, part of our agreement was that if the city were to purchase CNG-powered vehicles, we could fuel at their depot. We've looked at it. That doesn't seem to make economic sense for us at this time, but that option is still there as part of that contract.
Correct.
And the second issue, Small Business Saturday, we did this once before, and I believe we allowed or encouraged, pick the correct adjective, businesses to post something on their front door advertising that they were a participant of Small Business Saturday.
Yes, I mean, our business assistance center, BAC, it's all about small businesses and would love to partner with anybody who we can help promote this. The person who you need to connect with, it's not in the room. But, Nestor, can I volunteer you to get the gentleman's contact information before you leave here, and we'll get him hooked up with our BAC to see what we can do to help promote people who are trying to promote that small business Saturday.
Is there anything to be said to hook them up with Buxton?
Buxton is more of attempting to determine what other businesses would be a good fit here. So, no, this would not be a Buxton thing.
It is good with our partnership with the Florida Small Business Development Center, which is stationed in our BAC.
And another good place is your local advertising media outlets.
Sure.
You know, spend your dollars local with the local newspapers and advertise your Saturday specials, you know, your, because I know everybody's going to be advertising for, what's it, Black Friday and Cyber Monday and Crazy Saturday and all that stuff. So spend the bucks.
Okay, discussion by city council matters not on the agenda. Mr. Vice Mayor, why don't we start with you, sir?
Mr. Landon, are we going to see a presentation from our folks at Kemper about our golf course in the near future?
Yes, I think it's been scheduled for December. The December workshop, probably the second one in December.
Thank you.
Mr. Nabil.
I have nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. DiLorenzo.
Just welcome to your new city hall.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. It really is. A lot of effort. And I guess that I appreciate it, and I hope you do too.
Mrs. Shipley. The phrase that I used is that for the first time, we have a professional staff in a professional working environment. I know the staff appreciates it, and I think the residents will appreciate it as their interactions with staff is definitely facilitated. Discussion with city attorney of matters not on the agenda.
Oh, boy.
Your city attorney is not going to say anything that detracts from this wonderful evening.
Discussion by city manager of matters not on the agenda.
I don't think he said anything all night.
Typical attorney. That's
what you want. He's not going to say anything because his wife is here. That's why.
Typical attorney that had all those words to say no. A couple of things. Another announcement, and that is our Veterans Day ceremony at Heroes Park is obviously on Veterans Day, the 11th of November, 8 a.m. at Heroes Park. So hopefully people can come out for that ceremony. Always have a nice ceremony. And then obviously, yes, we're very excited about City Hall, kind of piggybacking on the issue of the clock. We're not finished moving. This is a process. But a good example is the photographs you see on the walls in the public areas. Those are our winners of our annual photo contest. So that's all Palm Coast photography with our local winners. Those went up this afternoon. I think they were scrambling to get all those up. They got up by 4 o'clock. There's a lot of walls out there that still don't have anything on them. TVs, so bear with us. We're not finished yet. The chairs you're sitting in are temporary because the chairs for this room are actually back ordered. But with all that said, wow, what a great job tonight, guys and gals, have put this together, both the ceremony and then first time here. It's all new for us, too. And I think staff did a great job and did a great job on the building, and very proud to call this home. And I hope everybody comes in and enjoys it. So, yes. Mayor, that's all I have.
Thank you very much. Mr. Vice Mayor?
I move we adjourn.
We are adjourned. Thank you all.